We're gonna do. I'll write around it. Okay. Do you have a pen? I wanted to give you a picture of the process of how karma is collected. Like we talked about, in the short term, karma is collected because when you're aware of what you're doing. So if you see yourself reach out and hit somebody, if you hear yourself lie to somebody, then the tape recorder is on. And then the karma is collected. And that's how our karma is collected. Then that seed travels from moment to moment, like a snooker. Snooker, they call it? We call it billiards. We call it pool, actually. But anyway, it's and I what they teach me, they do Karim in Nepal. You know, and one hits the other and transfers its energy. So that energy is transferred. Is that still on? Energy is transferred from moment to moment, and then at some time it ripens, okay? And you're looking at the parts of a thing, and what you see is decided by your karma. And that's how karma works, and it's responsible for every object around you, and also for your own thoughts, okay? Like whether you're happy or unhappy, whether you feel depressed or not, whether your microphone is working or not. Where is it? Other way, I think. Yeah. Is that okay? Better? Here? Yeah. Okay. Everything outside of you, and by the way, your own thoughts, you see? Whether you have happy thoughts or sad thoughts, it's all karma. And I thought I would just, that's like what happens in a second or a minute, okay? I want to show you what happens over your whole lifetime. I'm going to give you something that was taught by Maitreya, okay, the future Buddha, in a book called Uttara Tantra, which is not a tantra at all, okay? It's an open teaching about what karma does, okay? So I'm going to start. These are six steps of Maitreya, okay? And I like it because to me it explains all the answers I wanted to know about karma. And I'll just give it to you now, okay? Say, Le Sak.
Le
Sak. Le Sak. Le Sak means to accumulate karma or to collect karma. And now you know how. It's planting karma in your mind. Because you saw yourself do something, or you saw yourself say something, okay? You heard yourself think something, and then karma is planted in your mind. That's called Le Sak, okay? That's actually step number five. I'm going to go backwards and forwards from step number five, okay? If you Le Sak, what happens next? Okay, let's go forward from it. Is this spelled right, Ann Lindsay?
I think it's R-I-E-S.
Yeah, okay. R-I-E-S? Inquiries?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Say korwar,
kor,
korwar,
kor.
You hear the pun in Tibetan? It's, you know, it's like they, what's the seashells by the seashore or something like that. Korwar kor means to circle around in the big circle. Okay, I like to translate it sometimes as a self-perpetuating circle. This is talking about the wheel of life. There's a picture right there. Who's that guy holding it? Any guesses? Death, okay, that's death. So Tibetans think that death is some ugly guy like that? No. It represents this condition which is existing in your body right now, and it will kill you. Every day it's like taking more of your life away. Okay, they believe it represents a condition. In the hands of death is this wheel. Why is our life described as a wheel? If you understand about karma, then you can understand now why they call it samsara. Samsara meaning cyclic life, you know. What does that mean? There's a stupid explanation. Oh, rebirth to rebirth, you know. That doesn't make, maybe it means that in some level. There are many ways to interpret the Wheel of Life, by the way, but for people who don't believe in rebirth, it's not such a big deal, you know. But what about the kind of karma that we've already talked about? And I'm going to give an example, okay? I like to give the example of the diamond business. I work in this office. There's hundreds of people working there. The boss comes in and is standing in front of me and says, you did something really stupid yesterday, you know? And then I feel angry, you know? Suddenly I get angry. I don't know about you, but when I get angry, this thing comes up. It starts about here, and it comes up like this kind of a jolt comes up my body, and then it often triggers something around here, you know? And then I have to say something, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm not stupid, you know? I'll say something subtle so that it insults the boss, but I don't lose my bonus. You know what I mean? So I'll say, yeah, I'm stupid because I was late on that order, which you told me about 6 days after it was placed, you know. But yeah, I'm really stupid. And then, you know, you say something to hurt the other person's feelings that they can't quote you when they give you your bonus. So it has to be like, yeah, that was the order I got 6 days late from you. Yeah, I really did a stupid job on it. And then you say something back. You see, you in effect, you collect a new karma. So if you think about it, the boss said something bad to you, and that caused you to get angry, and then you said something bad back. So the tape recorder is on, okay? You said something back to the boss. That's harsh speech, right, in the form of nice speech or something like that. And then the tape recorder has recorded that, and because of that, what's going to happen in the future for me? Certain decibels, consonants, vowels will be interpreted in the future as boss yelling at me. You see what I mean? It's the same thing as the pen. This is just some black and white colors. Your mind turns it into a pen because your mind has pen karma in it, okay? Now, I'm speaking sounds. There's loud sounds, soft sounds, medium sounds, ka, ta, cha, pa, ta, different sounds, and then your mind is interpreting into language. If you've learned English language, it means something to you. If you had the karma to learn the English language. If you didn't, it's just a bunch of noises to you. You see what I mean? So really, the boss comes back in the room and he goes, you know, and then my mind interprets it as a boss saying, you're really stupid, Roach. Okay? And that's karma making me interpret that way. Okay, so if I say back again, no, you're stupid, then what kind of seed have I planted for the future? Same thing will come back to me. The very terrible thing about our life, the reason we are in this, we call it the broken desire realm. This is a special realm. You only get here if you're really stupid. Okay, if you're sitting here in this realm and you're not a deity in disguise, which you could be, okay? But if you're a normal guy or girl in this classroom, you got here by being dumb. And if you're in the desire realm, this realm doesn't work. Nothing here works. This is like Kathmandu electrical system or something. You know what I mean? This realm just doesn't work. You know, things here don't work. This life cannot come out right here. If you continue to live in this level of reality, and there's many other levels, but if you continue to live in this one, which doesn't work, called the desire realm, okay, then you'll just get old and die. And you'll work your whole life, you'll hope for different things, you'll pray for different things, you'll try different things. You go to Kathmandu, you go back to wherever you live, you try different things, you'll just get old and die. Because this realm doesn't work, there's something wrong with this realm. What is it? See, there's an energy in this realm that's broken. Every good thing you get wears out, okay? It doesn't matter whatever you get. Health, money, place to stay, girlfriend, boyfriend, anything, it'll wear out. You can say goodbye to it. Your own body will wear out, your face will wear out, people won't remember your name in a few years, okay? Everything wears out. Why? It's karma energy. Karma is wearing out, okay? You made some karma in the past, and now it's wearing out, okay? Unfortunately, there's this dirty, dirty trick about this particular realm. Everybody in this realm is so stupid that they, when bad karma result comes to them, they do it over again. You see what I mean? They have this instinct or habit of doing the exact same thing again. Okay? Like, it could be that when this guy yells at you, you could say, "You're right, maybe I'm stupid, I'll try to be better in the future, thank you." But you don't. You say what? "No, you're stupid." You see what I mean? And then that creates a new karma to what? To hear this guy again. By the way, do you hear a guy or not? The Buddha said, "Sukme dharme timme roche me chimido mikka me bena ikka me nam yigina bashabi kam ke paru yamedo." Heart Sutra. No, you don't hear anything. Get it? You don't hear anything. Buddha said so, Heart Sutra. Mikme name name cheme lume yime sumi dharme timme roche me roche me chimido. You don't hear anything, you don't see anything. What did he mean? Yeah, you're just hearing syllables. Come on, the guy just come in and said, "Gotcha, buh." And then your mind interprets it as, "You're really stupid." Okay, why? See, it's your karma making that. Your karma organizes everything into something bad. So, the natural reaction for people stuck in this broken realm, you know, this Nepalese electricity realm, is that your reaction to something bad happening to you is to do something bad back. And that creates this wheel. You see what I mean? That's why you're stuck in samsara. That's what Maitreya said. That's Maitreya trying to say. You make karma by yelling back at your boss. Okay? By yelling back, you get the same thing that you didn't want when you yell back. Comes back again to you. And that's a self-perpetuating cycle. 50% of everything you do during the day is exactly the wrong thing to do. Okay? Like, you don't have enough to eat, so what do? You try to grub the food that other people are supposed to have. What happens because of that?
You don't have food.
You don't get food the next day. Then what do? Grub some more food, you know what I mean? Or you have a girlfriend that you like, and you don't want to lose her, so what? You fight people who approach her, you know, or you fight with her about people who approach her. What's the karma you're going to get out of that? To lose her. Okay. You see, you're doing exactly the wrong thing. You're getting exactly your natural reaction in this broken realm, which is why you're here, is to do the same thing that would make you not get what you want. You see what I mean? Over and over and over again. And you keep doing it over and over and over again. You know, Buddhism says that you've been protecting your interests for millions of years by hurting other people, which means your interests are lost, and then you get less interest and more things to protect, and then you protect them by hurting other people, and then it all goes in a big circle like that. So what I'm trying to say is, don't trust your natural reactions. Okay, don't trust them. Your natural reaction to not having enough money is to somehow cheat other people. Your natural reaction to not having enough food is to take the last cookie. Okay? Give the last cookie away if you don't have enough to eat. And then see what happens. Okay? It's very interesting. Share things with other people if you don't have enough. Okay? It's smarter. It works better. Okay? That's the thing. Now you're going to go backwards. We got 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay? Then you get to have a cookie, I think. All right. Makes the whole thing. It's okay. Yeah. What do you think Maitreya gave as a step just before you collect karma? I have the answers, so I don't have to remember. What makes you like yell back at the boss?
Grasp of the beam for yelling at
the boss. What's the immediate cause? Yeah, mental affliction. You get angry. Okay. Say Dercha. Shedan. Dercha. Shedan. Ever seen these guys before? We had them back in the earlier class. We had Chak Me Machakpa and we had Shedang Mepa. We had the opposites, okay? Dirchak means liking things stupidly. Okay? Liking things in a stupid way. Guess what Shedang is? Not liking things in a stupid way. Okay? Disliking things in a stupid way. Okay? I don't like the translations of passion and anger. You know, I get passion maybe once every 6 months when I walk to the airport and see a Playboy magazine on the thing, you know? But these two things are happening every moment of your life, okay? You're having these all the time. I like that. I don't like that. I like that. I don't like that. These thoughts are going through your mind as we speak, you know? I don't like that he's going on so long. I would like some Coca-Cola, you know? And those thoughts are coming on through your mind like dick, 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 you know? These things are called two of the three poisons. They're in your mind all the time, okay? Liking things the wrong way, disliking things the wrong way. Which two creatures in the Wheel of Life painting are they? What's Dirchak? Dirchak is the rooster, okay? In the old days, it was a pigeon because they like to reproduce so much, okay? Shedan?
Snake.
The snake, okay? It's the snake in the picture. And that's what they stand for, okay? Should we translate it liking and disliking?
No.
No, why not?
You need to add ignorant.
You got to add stupid, okay? I mean, the Buddha likes things, right? The Buddha would like to see you get enlightened. The Buddha would like to see you see emptiness tonight. You know, the Buddha dislikes seeing you shoot yourself in the toes every day, okay? But not in a stupid way, okay? Stupid means what? You're willing to hurt somebody to get what you want, okay? You're willing to hurt somebody to get what you want. That's stupid, okay? And you're willing to hurt someone to get away from what you don't like, and that's stupid, okay? Why? Suppose you want some ice cream, and you take somebody else's ice cream.
You won't have any ice cream.
You won't have any ice cream in the future. It's the stupidest thing you can do to get ice cream, okay? So why did I get ice cream when I took it out of my friend's place? Stealing is a bad deed. Ice cream is a good thing. How come I got the ice cream when I went and stole it out of his refrigerator?
It didn't come from the stealing.
No cause and effect there. No cause and effect. It didn't come from the stealing. Prove it.
Because stealing doesn't always get you ice
cream. Great. Stealing doesn't always work. Okay? Stealing is not the cause of whatever you got when you stole, because stealing doesn't always work. It's so simple that you don't believe it. Okay, like all other simple things. Okay, it's so simple. Come on, Michael Roche, is that the best reason you can give me? Yeah, it happens to be the best reason in the universe. It's stupid to steal to get things because stealing doesn't cause you to get things because half the people who steal don't get things. Get it? Okay, it's like obvious. It's like very profound. It's so profound it goes over your head. Okay, it just goes like whoop. Okay, all right. The stupidest thing in the world to get something is to hurt someone else to get it. Because that will cause you not to have it, okay? So that's stupid liking and stupid disliking. Now, who would do this stupid thing? What's number three? Who would act that way? Why would somebody act that way?
Self-cherishing.
You can say self-cherishing. What else?
Wrong views.
Yeah, they don't understand things, okay? We'll call it this. Sorry, can you erase that?
Okay.
Just the wrong, yeah, and that one. And that one. Okay. I like to give them exercise. Say, Tulmin.
Tulmin.
Yiche. Tsumin? Yiche. Tsumin means wrong way. Tsumin means the wrong way. Yiche means you look at things the wrong way. Okay? You look at things the wrong way. Like what? Oh, let's say the boss who came in and yelled at you. Okay? That's, you looked at him the wrong way. Why? You think that that bad thing that's in front of you is coming from where?
His own side.
His side. He's stupid. He's yelling at me. He's bad. He's hurting me. Who's hurting you? Yours. Prove it. There's a guy sitting next to me. Every time I go to Nepal to teach, I have lots of unfinished work to be done. Guess who gets stuck with it when I go teach about compassion? This poor guy at work who sits next to me. He hates to see Michael Roach leave. He's hoping that Michael Roach will be accused by the boss of being stupid for being away so much. So guess how he feels when the boss says, "You're stupid." He's like, right on. Finally, Michael Roach got in trouble. This is great. And he's like sitting there trying not to smile. He's like, you know, he's like trying not to smile. Okay? So at one event, this yelling from this, these decibels coming out of this mouth, one event, he sees it as pleasant. I see it as unpleasant. Because he's got some kind of old good karma left in his mind. By the way, he's making new bad karma, that's another thing. Okay, but he's got some old good karma in his mind, and he sees it as something wonderful. And I see it as something terrible. But I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, I did a stupid thing. Last year I yelled at one of my workers, and that's why I have to see this guy. I'm not thinking like that. What am I thinking? He's stupid. He's yelling at me, you know? He's bad from his side. It's not me. I didn't make him. He's a bad person. I believe that. That's called looking at things the wrong way. You're looking at your boss the wrong way, okay? Question. If you understood that this guy is yelling at you because of you yelled at somebody in the past, would you yell at him again? Never in 100 years, okay? But because you're looking at him the wrong way, then you're gonna get angry, which is step number
four.
Then you're gonna say something back, which is step number
five.
And because of that, you're gonna meet a new boss yelling at you, which is step number six, which is caused because you yelled at him, number five, which is caused because you disliked him stupidly, okay? Which is caused by, you looked at him the wrong way. You don't get it, okay? By the way, when you do this meditation, you should just go ba 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 ba, and then you go Belmar Gomba means 1, 3, 5, 4, 6. You know, you can go like tick 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 tick. When they teach us to meditate on this, this is Abhidharma, sixth chapter, seventh chapter. You know, they teach you, you got to get so good at this that you can go 1, 5, 6, 3, 4. And then you say, how's this stuff? How did I get here? 5. How did I get there? 4. What happened? 3. Why? 2. What's number 1? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. And then you just like boom, 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 boom. Next time you see your boss, you're like, you know what I mean? And that's Buddhism. You see, Nagarjuna says in his famous letter to the king, you cannot be a good person unless you understand emptiness. It's impossible. He said, you cannot remove your mental afflictions unless you understand emptiness. You can do Band-Aid fixes that will last for 10 minutes, but you want to get rid of you want to get out of this broken place? You want to get out of Nepalese electricity place? You got to know emptiness, okay? You got to understand these six things. You must. And you got to be able to run them off before your mouth opens. You know, he's like, you stupid, and you say, you know, and then you just broke this chain of violence, right? You didn't spin the wheel again, okay? Why? Because you didn't do number 5. You didn't collect a new bad karma by yelling at him. Because you didn't do number 4. Because you didn't dislike him in a stupid way. You can dislike him in an intelligent way. What's an intelligent way? I dislike you because you are evidence of how stupid I am. The fact that you're there proves that I'm stupid. You know? And, you know, but I'm not going to do it again. Okay. Why don't you like him? Because you're thinking of him the wrong way. Don't blame it on him. Stop blaming it on him. Okay? It's not his fault. He's a vehicle for your karma. Stop blaming this guy. Okay? Stop blaming this guy. If you had better karma, you'd be the guy sitting next to you. And it would sound great. You see what I mean? It's your fault. Get used to that. Okay? Get used to thinking that way. You don't want to hear number three? A two? Maybe do two and one, and then we'll do. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to run back and forth a couple times. Okay? Here goes number two. What makes you think of him the wrong way? Ignorance. Okay? Say Denzin.
Denzin.
By the way, this whole thing can be taught through the 12 links. Like, it's really fun to teach it with this Wheel of Life painting. You can spend 4 days on this painting and teach this in a very beautiful way. Everything I'm teaching you is hidden in that painting. You should get one while you're in Kathmandu and then come out to Arizona and we'll do it when I get out of jail, retreat. So say Denzin.
Denzin
means, Den means true. Zin means hold. Denzin means you hold it to be true. Now, is the boss true? Meaning, is he real?
Yeah.
Of course he is. If you don't think so, call him an asshole and see if you get a bonus. Okay? Really. I mean, this whole thing about, oh, illusion. Come on. Say something bad to him and tell me if you got a bonus or not. Okay? You won't. You won't get a bonus. I tried it. Okay? So Den means he's not true in the sense that he's not real in the sense that he's not really coming from his own side. It's your mind making you see him that way, okay? So real in Buddhism means he's not out there real on his own like that pot was not out there on its own. You're seeing him in some mental image because your karma is making you see it that way. Well, so what's out there? Oh, a bunch of noises. Okay, that's all. And then your mind is organizing it into an image of a very irritated guy. Well, who's responsible for that? Mr. Karma. Do I have a choice? Can I turn off Mr. Karma? Yeah. No, it's too late. He's already an ugly guy. Okay? Can I change it for the future? Oh, yeah, you can do that. Just stop yelling. Okay? Don't yell back. Okay? By the way, this isn't to say that if someone's hurting someone, you're not supposed to do something. That's a whole different story. I'm talking about shutting down the karma that's hurting you. Okay? Zen means to hold. Den Zen means to believe that this guy is a bad guy from his own side. He's not. He's just a bunch of noises and sticks and colors. And in somebody's mind, due to somebody's past karma, is making him look like this crazy, ugly, yelling guy. Okay? And if you want to see him that way again, then yell at him. Okay? And you'll be doing the same thing that you did that got you here. Okay? If you're here, you have this ability to screw yourself up over and over again, okay? That's called Denzin. How come that's not number one? Where does that come from? Why do you always tend to think that he's coming from his own side? Where'd that come from? You have a seed in your mind, okay? Good old Bakchak, okay? And then we'll take a break, okay? Good old Mr. Bakchak. You met him earlier today, I think. We said it was a Hungarian pastry or a mental seed, okay? Put there by karma. What it means is you are born. If you get into this realm, if you make the mistake of getting onto the flypaper of this realm, but you got to get hurt. Once you step on the flypaper, you're going to have your legs torn off. I mean, You step into this realm, you're already in trouble. Unless you're a very good Buddhist, by the time you get out, you can't get off that flight paper without getting hurt. Okay? So, Bhakchak means from your past lives, from the past, before you were born, you're carrying this seed of seeing things the wrong way. Okay? You carry this seed into your life. How many people in this desire realm are like that? Everybody. Oh, bugs too? Right. Bugs are seeing their enemies as being bad from their own side. Ants, worms, amoebas, okay, elephants, whales, birds, they all have this bhakchak. Okay? If you're in this realm, if you got to be in this realm, then you're seeing things the wrong way. Okay? Now you start to get a sense of why a human rebirth is so cool and so precious. You know? Try to explain to an ant what they're doing wrong. You know? Those black, he's a red ant, right? Don't hate those black ants. You know, he looks bad when he cuts you in half, but it's just that you have this karma in your mind that's making you see him that way, and if you were more patient and loving of this other black ant, then you wouldn't have to see that anymore, and all the black ants would become red ants, and you could live with him happily. You can't explain that to an ant. You see, I mean, that's why it's almost impossible for an ant to get liberated in this lifetime, and that's why it's so precious to be a human being with a decent brain. Okay, which everybody is in this room. So, because this is the only way to get out. That's the only way to stop. That wheel can only be broken in one place. Number one, 1 o'clock, 12:30. What's there? It's the blind man, okay? He's like blind. What's that stand for? Ignorance and its seed, okay? Number one and number two, okay? That's what it stands for. Okay, so that's the only place you can break it. You gotta break it there. You gotta understand Mrs. Emptiness and Mr. Karma and how they work together. Okay, how everything is a blank screen, and then your karma is making you see something. And if you're tired of getting old, ugly, wrinkly, bald, you know, more and more stupid every year, then you stop it. Stop collecting bad karma. Keep your vows. And get rid of your old bad karma, okay? And so I think you'll agree that our task for Thursday and Friday has to be, how do you get new good karma enough to turn into Manjushri or Tara as you wish? And then how do you get rid of all the old bad karma that you already collected before you knew all this stuff? You see, how many bosses have you yelled at, you know? So we gotta talk about that on Thursday and Friday. That'll be the whole shtick on Thursday and Friday, okay? I'll take one question. I think you need a break.
Your colleague who enjoys the yelling is experiencing pleasure, and that very experience is an evil karma for his future. How could it be the ripening of good karma?
Okay, cool. You know, this is a very, very common confusion. Okay, very, very common. The guy sitting next to me, when the boss yells at me, he's having an experience of pleasure. By definition, it must be a result of good karma. You see? It's amazing. He gets to hear something he enjoys because of something good he did in the past. Okay? But are you telling me it's a good thing to sit there and enjoy somebody else's trouble? No, that was number 9 from yesterday. Okay? Being happy about other people's problems. Number 9. Bad deed number 9. Okay? So, And frankly, although it's a very terrible example, maybe I shouldn't give it, and I won't give it. Okay, anyway, it's possible to be enjoying an event because of some goodness you did in the past, and that's ripening as the sense of enjoyment over some kind of sounds or words or something like that. But the simultaneous feeling of satisfaction at someone else's trouble is a bad karma.
Oh, so there's okay. Two things going on?
I would try to divide it if I was in a debate ground. You know? Because I would try to divide it.
There has to be some qualitative difference between the goodness you get back from a real
and the goodness you... Because I think if you wouldn't divide it, you'd get in trouble in the debate ground. Then the next chess, you know, move in the debate ground would be, ho-ho, so something good can cause something bad, right? Okay, you got to split it, I think. You'd split the question. You'd say, yeah, there's a feeling of pleasure that comes from a good deed he did in the past. And then there's a sick feeling that's going to cause him trouble in the future, something like that. I would. I think you'd better split it, or you're in trouble by the next step in the chess game. Okay. One more little question.
There was something about the kind of stealing. If you rob a bank and you get a lot of money and you enjoy the money, okay, that certainly must be some good karma, and then you're collecting a bad karma. But does that mean that that karma would definitely ripen? You wouldn't have to need to steal the money if the money would have come to you.
It's a great question. Okay, I'll repeat her question in a similar way. Okay. My boss tells me, go out and lie to this guy who's offering us diamonds for $300,000 and tell him it's worth $250,000 and do not offer him a penny more. And I say to my boss, you know they're worth $300,000. He says, go out and lie and tell him, insist that they're worth $250,000 and that you happened to see them yesterday offered for that, okay? And I'm like, that's not true. And he says, it's okay, just try it, you know? So I go out and I say, these diamonds are only worth $250,000. You know, and then the guy says, and then the guy's sitting there and he says, listen, I know Michael's lying. He knows it's worth $300,000. I got to make a payment to this other diamond dealer today. I must have $100,000 a day, so I'll just take it. I'll lose $50,000 a day. People do that all the time, okay? Suddenly, me and my boss have made $50,000 extra, which happens all the time, okay? Is it a result of lying, according to this big karma theory? Cannot be. Lying is something bad. $50,000 is something good, normally, okay? Bad thing can not, it's so simple that you don't believe it. And you're still gonna lie tomorrow. You say, by the way, when you get good at this, you stop lying, you feel so good. You feel so smart, you know? Anyway, now what she's saying is, did the money come from a good karma? Yes, I gave somebody money in the past. That's why he agreed to my lie, okay? Well, what's the lie going to do? In the future, nobody will believe me. Are you telling me there's no connection between the lie and the money? That's right. Prove it. It doesn't always work. It can't be a cause of the money, okay? That's so obvious, but we suffer our whole lives lying because they think it produces something. It doesn't. If you didn't believe it anymore, you'd be free. You'd be happy all the time, okay? If you were freed from the temptation of bad deeds because you know it doesn't work, you'd just be totally happy all day long. It's really fun, okay? But now to get to your question. If I told my boss, I'm not lying, it doesn't work, you know? I refuse to lie. Would I still make $50,000 that day? Yes, okay? How? I don't know, your stock goes up, somebody makes a payment that you didn't expect, you know, a transfer is made into your bank account. It happens all the time. I'm not kidding. What I'm trying to say is you don't have to lie. The thing you're going to get anyway. So just stop lying because it just causes you suffering in the future, okay? Would you get the money anyway? Yes. You can't stop the money, okay? You could sit on your chair and you'd still get the money. Lots of people sit on their chairs and make money. Lots of stupid people make money. Lots of smart people are poor, okay? The karma is going to come to you anyway. You don't have to lie to get it to come. There's some lamas around who say 50% of things are self-existent and 50% of things are not self-existent. And I say, what the hell are you talking about? He says, well, you see, you have to tell a lie because it's the factor that causes the karma to ripen. You know, so I say, oh, so you're telling me that some things do come from karma and some things don't come from karma. You see what I mean? I say, bullshit. I said, that doesn't make any sense to me. Forget it. I never saw that in any scripture at all. There are lamas going around saying that, you know. Yeah, you should tell the lie because, you know, it's okay to tell small lies because in a pinch you might have to tell a lie, you know. I said, it doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense and it's not true, okay. If you didn't tell the lie and you sat there in your chair, you would still make $50,000 that day, okay. It's true. It's really true, okay. And it's proven in the fourth chapter of the Abhidharma Kosha, and I can show you, okay? Okay, sorry to keep you so long. Take a nice break, and then we'll do a tiny bit afterwards, okay? A lama sup a tiny bit, no. Okay. Okay, real quick, we won't go very long. And I promise not even to do Lama Sipa short time. You've heard me explain the pen thing. You've heard me talk about the boss thing, how different people have different perceptions of the boss. I'm trying to tell you that that's the real meaning of emptiness. Emptiness is not some black hole. Emptiness is not some green halo. Emptiness is not trying to think about nothing or watching your thoughts go by or something like that. Emptiness is that stick. Where's that stick? that black and white stick, if you have karma number A, you will see a pen. If you have karma number B, you will see a stick to chew on. If you have by the way, get this, okay? I'll throw this out to you. Think about it for a couple days. If you see this as a pen, then you're a human. That's what makes you a human, okay? And if you see this as something to chew on, you're a dog. And that's what makes you a dog, okay? Now, get this difference. I didn't say that you saw this as a stick because you're a dog. I said, if you see this as a stick, then you are a dog. Get it? Think about it, okay? What I mean is, rebirth itself is just a karmic perception. Rebirth itself is just a perception, okay? If your karma changed between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock tonight to see this thing move anymore, you're what we call dead, okay? And that's what dead is. You've got to get used to that, okay? That's what dead is. It's not that you got run over by a Nepalese taxi, okay? Your karma stopped. You didn't have the karma to see this move anymore, and that's what dead is. The karma to see this as an arm means that you're a human. If you see this as a paw, then you're a dog. And there is no dog other than that, and there is no human other than that, and there's no such thing as death other than that. The implication here is that you could be a dog by tomorrow morning. How? Do you have to die, and your spirit goes into the Mr. Bardo, and then there's a dog body laying on the street, and the spirit comes into the dog body, and it wakes up, and oh my God, I'm a dog now, okay? It's not like that. It's much more dangerous. If you have the karma to see this thing as a pen and then not see it, then you have the karma to be a dog by tomorrow morning. I mean, you could have the karma. It's possible. Why? It's just a perception. Okay? It's just a perception. It's a slight change in your mind, you see? The same change that makes you see my arm move, the same thing that makes you see the pen, see it and then not see it, can make you see this as a paw by tomorrow morning. That's all. You don't have to go to some bardo, hang out 49 days, you know, blah, blah, blah. They need 49 days to make a dog body. Probably in Nepal it would take 49 months, okay? Something like that. It's not like that. It's just a change in your perceptions, okay? Anybody in this room could be a dog by tomorrow morning, okay? Because it's just a perception. If you can see this thing go away, you can see life go away in the same amount of time, okay? It's very frightening. Okay, that whole rebirth stuff is true, and you're eligible, because you're here, okay? Anyway, that's not the subject tonight. We're talking about, I guess it is, there's a thing called Chumbak. Say Chumbak. Chumbak. Okay, if you're going to study emptiness, you've got to study Chandrakirti, Master Chandrakirti. Master Chandrakirti lived about 13 centuries ago. Okay, he wrote a book called Madhyamika Avatara, or Entering the Middle Way. Okay, and in there, there's a section called Chumbak. Chumbak means stream of water. Stream of water. And, you know, if you're a preta, if you're like a hungry spirit, then you see a stream of water as being pus, blood, okay? If you're a human, you see the same thing as water. That's why he called the chapter Chumbak, okay? But in this chapter, he explains what I've been talking about with the pen and what I've been talking about with the arm and everything else. Okay, and I'm just going to do it very fast, okay? And I'm going to give it to you in modern terms. So three guys are sitting in a bar in Kathmandu, you know, and it's this little room. And I always imagine a light coming down like that with a little screen on it. And one of these guys happens to be a human. One of them is a deva, you know, like a temporary pleasure being. And then guy number three is a preta, meaning a hungry spirit, okay? Now, you never saw a preta or a deva, but that's okay. Pretend, okay? So you got this little table. There's three chairs. They're sitting in a bar. The whole bar is dark. There's one light coming down. And you look around. There's three weird guys. You know, the human is okay. But here's this weird preta with this little neck and a big stomach, okay? And then over on the other side is a deva, you know, like this beautiful Indra or Shiva or something like that, you know, looking kind of amazing. Temporary happy being, okay? These guys are sitting around a bar. And then the waitress comes up, you know, in a Nepalese miniskirt or something, and she's got a glass of liquid, okay? And she sets it down in the middle of the table and she says, "Drink up, guys." And she leaves, okay? This is really, the chumbap is this, okay? And this is how you're going to read it in the reading. The reading is very difficult, you know? You can read it for 6 months, all right? But I'm just giving you the short version, okay? So the minute she sets this liquid on the table, three different perceptions begin, okay? Three totally different perceptions begin. The human being sees what? A nice glass of water or beer, okay? Probably mostly water. Then the deva, you know, the pleasure being sees some kind of amrita. We call it amrita, nectar of the gods, okay? And then the preta sees what?
Pus.
Blood and pus. So how does that work exactly? You know, I mean, it's the same principle as the dog sees something to chew on and the human sees a pen, okay? Why? Well, if you think about it, there's some kind of stuff out there, okay, called liquid. And then there's karma in each being's mind that's making them see something. So actually, two things are helping to create this perception. What? There's a liquid out there to act as nirlin gigyu. Say nirlin.
Nirlin.
Nirlin means the stuff that turned into the blood and the beer and the amrita. Okay? What's that? Oh, the liquid that she put down on the table. Whatever she poured into that glass, whatever she put down on the table, that's what the blood was the minute before it was blood. Okay? Got it? That's what turned into the blood. That's what turned into the water or beer. That's what turned into the nectar of the gods. Okay? There's something in that cup when she set it down. You know? And due to the three different karmas and the three different beings' minds, that's cause number two, by the way. We call it Lenjik Chekian. Say Lenjik. Chekian. Lenjik. Chekian. Always sounded like chicken to me in the debate ground. But anyway, we call that the contributing cause, the karma. Okay? The karma teams up with whatever used to be in the glass and produces blood or beer or nectar of the gods. Okay? And that's how this stuff works. Okay? There's something out there that turns into pen, which is a black and white cylinder. Okay? There's something that triggers it to turn into pen, which is what? Your own karma in your own mind, if you're a human. Okay? And that's the whole meaning of chumbap. Okay, that's the, and they actually give this example. Now you're gonna read, it's difficult. That reading is difficult. Okay, how many objects are there by the end? One minute later, how many objects are there? She says one but three parts. Some people say three objects that look like one or something like that. Anyway, we can say that each being is seeing. You want to call it parts? I don't know. You guys can debate it. All right. My teacher used to do that. Very frustrating. He'd say, "You figure it out." Okay. Anyway, different lamas have explained it different ways. Anyway, we can agree that. By the way, how many valid perceptions going on there? Tsema, pramana.
Three.
How can they be valid if they're contradictory? Aha, that's why we say valid and not correct. Valid means, given their karma, they're seeing what they're supposed to see. okay? Who's right? That's another question. We'll not get into that. If one's correct, the others have to be incorrect? I don't know. Anyway, they're all valid, pramana. I mean, they're all seeing what they have to see, okay? They're all correct in a sense. Given their karma, they're seeing what they have to see, all right? How many things are like that? Are we having the same problem right now in this room? Yes. There's 130 to 150 different perceptions of how boring this talk is, okay? Like, some people are like, man, I hope he finishes, you know? And some people are like, hey, if that guy's true, then I could become Manjushri in this lifetime, you know? Like, there's a whole range of perceptions from that to that. You see what I mean? And everything's like that. This applies to your favorite song, okay? Like, you may have noticed, or maybe you didn't notice, that your favorite song is only your favorite, okay? Like, nobody else hears it the same way. Now, I put on my favorite song, and people, like, very, because I'm Lama, you know? So very politely, after about 20 minutes, they'll, like, ask me, could we listen to something else for a while, you know? And I can't understand it, you know? They're not having the same perception as me. Normally, nobody's having the same perceptions. I mean, Buddhas are having the same perceptions, okay? Something like that. Let's see if I've covered all your homework questions. If three different beings sit down and look at the same glass and see three different things, does that mean nothing is anything? Does that mean there's no right or wrong, for example? Not at all, okay? Not at all, okay? Can three different people see the same thing in three different ways? Yes. But which one's more fun? I mean, it'd be a lot more fun to see it as nectar. You see what I mean? That's all. So yeah, is there an innate reality in that thing? No. Does it have to be one way or the other? No. Is it one way or the other? Yeah, for each one of them. Is there a better or a worse? Of course there is. You'd rather be drinking nectar than blood or piss, okay? So, that's all. There is one way or the other for each one of those beings, okay? It's not like nothing is nothing. I have all these idiotic people come up to me and say, Nagarjuna said samsara and nirvana are the same. Come on. So go stand in front of a taxi and break your legs. You know, why are you eating? Leave me your ice cream. Okay? You know what I mean? That's not what he meant at all. Guess what he meant? They're all empty. Okay? The worst thing in the world and the best thing in the world, which happens to be samsara and nirvana, are the same because they're both empty. Okay? Meaning, if you've got good karma, you can see it as nirvana. If you've got lousy karma, you can see it as samsara. That's all. It doesn't mean that there's no difference. Come on. Okay? That's one thing you got to understand about emptiness. Obviously. Okay? If you don't believe that, leave me your... I don't need your passport, but the traveler's checks and ice cream and stuff like that. Okay. Number three. Is it possible that three beings have three perceptions which are all valid and yet draw contradictory conclusions about a single object? Yeah. Okay. By the way, the answer key is wrong. I didn't write it. Okay. Are they contradictory perceptions? Yes. I mean, one thing to one person can't be blood and pear juice at the same time. Okay. But for three different beings with three different sets of karma, yeah, it can be. Okay. Three different things. Wow, that's hard. Yeah, that's a three parts thing, okay? There's three what we call material causes, which is mean, for them, the material cause is the same in each case, which is what? There's a liquid there. That's the main cause of the stuff. We call material cause. Then there's a contributing cause, which is what? Each person's karma, okay? Then each one of them has a... in one way of explaining it, there's three different parts of the liquid and each one of them sees a different thing and that's three different objects. But I don't like that so much. Okay, anyway. And in this explanation, while they're sitting there, okay, the liquid is showing three parts. Okay? The hungry spirit is seeing the blood part. The Deva is seeing the nectar part. The human is seeing the water part. But the moment the preta picks it up and touches it to their lips, it's 100% blood. Okay. Anyway, that's one way of explaining it. I don't like it so much. Okay.
What school is that?
This is Madhyamika Saramay textbook, okay?
Wow.
All right? I think it's a useful way of explaining it in some cases. But what it means is that the Preta doesn't experience it. I mean, it literally changes from the time that he reaches out to the glass and the time he tries to drink it. The object actually changes, okay?
To him?
For him, yeah.
If you visually... what they see.
Yeah, he. I mean, the point is, in Chumba, you know the Preta, the frustrating thing about being a Preta is that from a distance, everything looks great. You see what I mean? Like, you might see a root beer. From 10 feet away, it's a root beer. And then the minute you reach out and put it to your lips, it changes. You see what I mean? Your karma causes that object to change. That's all. That's all they're saying. When the Preta attempts to experience it as anything other than blood and pus, it becomes 100% blood and pus, and they can't, okay? Is it actual pus and blood? You should say, to the Preta it is actual pus and blood, okay? Assuming you don't take actual to mean from its own sign, okay? So you gotta be careful. And that's the trick in Madhyamika, okay? Then we'll stop. One more sentence, okay? Don't forget, we're not talking philosophy. It's too late, and in the evening, everybody's tired. It's like 3 days into this stuff now. All I want to say is, this thing and the cup of water are the same, okay? If you have a karma to see it one way, you will see it one way. Because it's empty. It doesn't have any way that it is. This one, never forget, okay, that crazy American guy standing up there. He's holding this pen all the time. He seems to be insisting on something. And he's trying to say, this one and this cylinder work the same. Okay? It's exactly the same. You change the karmas in your mind. You change those bok choks. You change those seeds in your mind. You don't have to see this as an arm anymore. You can see it as Manjushri's arm. And then it will be Manjushri's arm for you. Okay? Now, if Michael Roach, by some miracle, could keep his vows well and see this as Manjushri's arm next week, would you see it as Manjushri's arm? Depends, okay? Depends. If you're keeping your vows, you would, okay? That explains why you don't see Manjushri's running around, okay? They are running around for them, okay? That explains, by the way, why you see His Holiness the Dalai Lama getting older. Okay, do you think he sees that in the mirror? I mean, if he really is Avalokiteshvara, which I don't know, I can't confirm it. It seems like to me. I mean, I guess he is, but I don't know. Looks like. If I had to guess, I'd say yes. But I can't say I've seen him as Avalokiteshvara. Because that would be saying I have a hell of a lot more good karma than I do. Okay? Anyway, when he looks in the mirror, he probably sees something totally different than you do. Okay? That's all. So don't think that it's impossible for you to become Manjushri or Tara because you didn't see Manjushris and Taras running around in Tibetan monasteries. Okay? Maybe they are for them. You see what I mean? Okay? That's all. It's totally possible. You can do it. You can do it. Tantra works because of the marriage, that old marriage between Mr. Karma and Mrs. Emptiness. Okay? That's why Tantra works. So now Tantra becomes very exciting. So next 2 days we got to talk about, are there any neat tricks for keeping your vows and making, manipulating your reality in the future? You know, I'm going to manipulate my reality. I'm going to make a Buddha paradise appear in my, you know, apartment. Okay? And then that's, can you manipulate your reality? And then very importantly, can you get rid of your old bad karma? Because your old bad karma is there like a big sack of poop and it's going to block you. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good you do now, you still got this big bag of stuff that you're carrying around. Can you eliminate that? Because otherwise it's hopeless, right? Like, okay, collect all the good karma you want, but you've been collecting bad karma so long, if you have to hold on to that, then you don't have much chance, okay? So we got to talk about how do you collect good karma in a very powerful way, and then how do you get rid of your old bad karma? So we will do that in the next 2 days, okay? Is that all? Somebody want an announcement? No. No more announcements.